Standing alone when opposed. Standing alone when opposed. I think this is true when we're faced with an enemy one-on-one. It's fairly easy to keep our guard up. When we see the enemy and we're one-on-one, it's easy to keep our guard up. Because we're suspicious, ready to stick up for our morals, ready to stand if we have to, and stand alone if we have to. But often, rather than making a ruthless attack, our opposition appears to be more like a group of friends having a party. At these times, it takes strength to resist the invitation to come over and join them. Because that's what the devil does. He makes it look like that we're all doing it and everybody's having fun. It takes a little more strength to resist this situation. At times, it takes real strength to resist. To resist the invitation to come over and join them. And often, instead of standing alone, we end up sitting with our friends. We sit with our friendly foes in the world's plush seats of sin. And then we find ourselves falling into some murky waters of sin. I've told this little illustration before, but I want to illustrate it again and tell it again because I think it illustrates my point very well. Said the spider to the fly is the illustration. Once a spider built a very beautiful spider web in an old house. And he kept it clean and he kept it shiny so that flies would patronize his web. The minute he got a customer, he would clean it up so the other flies would not get suspicious. Then one day, this fairly intelligent fly came buzzing by the clean spider web. The old spider called out to him, "Come on in and sit a while." But the fairly intelligent fly said, "No, sir. I don't see any other flies in your house. And I'm not about to go in that alone." But then he saw on the floor, below him, a large crowd of flies. And they were dancing around on the floor, dancing on a piece of brown paper. He was delighted. Everybody was doing it. Everybody was flying down to the brown paper. And everybody seemed to be dancing. And it was everybody doing it. He thought to himself, "Well, I'm not afraid if a lot of flies are doing it." So he came in for a landing. And just before he landed, a bee zoomed by saying, "Don't land there, stupid. That's flypaper." But the fairly intelligent fly shouted back, "Don't be silly. All these flies are dancing. There's a big crowd there. Everybody's doing it. That many flies. Why, they can't all be wrong." Well, you know what happened, don't you? He flew down there exactly like he said he was going to do. And he got stuck and began to die. And eventually he died. Some of us want to be with a crowd so badly. Some of us in this room want to be with a crowd so badly, and we want to be accepted so bad that we end up in a mess. But what does it profit a fly or a person if he escapes the web only to end up in the glue? And where are you going to be, ladies and gentlemen? Is it better for you to escape the web? Oh, preacher, I didn't get in the web this week. I had no problem. I saw the devil and I saw what he was trying to do. I did not get in the web. Well, then did you fly down to where everybody else was anti-God and anti-establishment and anti-Bible? And did you fly down to the glue and get stuck? What does the Bible say? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Standing alone when opposed. We too live in a day that beckons our allegiance. We must always be alert, I think, for the world constantly is luring us to come over and join their ranks. It's not so bad. Come on over. You'll enjoy yourself. Come on. A little drink won't hurt. A little smoke won't hurt. A little dope won't hurt. Why, a little sex won't hurt a bit. Nobody's going to be hurt. Everybody's for it. Hey, wake up, everybody. Be careful. Oh, I know you escaped the web, but what about the glue? Don't tell me this doesn't happen. It's happening all over our world. It's happening all over our churches. Amen. We are flat, making mistake after mistake, and we're watching out for the web. But we've forgotten about the glue. Here's some crucial questions regarding the world system. Before we can beat the system, I really believe, before we can discover how to stand alone and be opposed to our society, how to beat the world's webby system, how to remain free, we must ask ourselves some very crucial questions. So Roman numeral number one in my notes is a crucial question to ask regarding the world system. Before we can beat this system, we've got to understand the stuff of the web. And by the way, the internet is a web. The internet's a web. Parties are webs. Pornography is a web. Somebody needs to shout amen. I'm preaching right now. I said pornography is a web. Yes. The internet is a web. Yes. The ungodly parties are webs. Amen. We're just becoming too mamsy-pamsy with our preaching and with our leading. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody needs to stand up and say what is right and what is wrong. Yes. I'm telling you, we have to have the courage to stand alone when we're opposed. Who's behind it all? Well, the eight-legged creature calling us to come into his web is none other than the devil himself, Satan. Go with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5. It'll be on the screen, but I want you to see it in your Bible as well. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world, here's what the Bible says, the whole world lieth in what? Everybody say it, lieth in. Listen to me. People say, but preacher, the world is not as bad as it used to be. It's getting better. It is not getting better. And the Word of God says it. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. That's the scripture. God's Word says the whole world lieth in wickedness. Who's behind it? The devil. What he offers as a winsome invitation to blissful rest is actually a proposal for death. Number two, what are his objectives? The web, the world system, is spun with thin silken threads of fortune and fame and power and pleasure. The world's ultimate goal, I think, is to get you to believe that the lie that these things bring security. You know, we are so taken up by fortune and fame and power and money and pleasure that we think these things bring pleasure. And the devil does that purposely to make us think that's what we need in our life. But he's making a web for us, you see. He wants you to believe that lie and to leave you entangled in the web. He wants your limbs to be wriggling in the web. You can't allow him to do this. Fortune. Let's take it one by one. Fortune, to build one's security on money, is very, very dangerous. Are you listening to me? You know, the nice little nest egg you thought you were planning for your future just might break apart. I don't know about you, but some of your 401ks, some of your retirement planning, I mean that you thought was going to be there. If it keeps going, may not be there at all. How many can witness what I'm saying right now? I'm telling you, you got a chance to look at your 401k, you got a chance to look at your investments, and all of a sudden you've lost $25, $35, $45, $55, $75, $100,000. You're about ready to pull your hair out. And I was thinking about retiring. I can't now, you'd say. Look at my funds. What's happening to America? You know, little nest eggs. Sometimes we think we got these little nest eggs over here. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't think that you're so strong. Don't think that you're so healthy. Don't think that you're so wise. And don't think you have so much money. In a moment, in a minute of time, God can take everything away. Everything at one swipe can be gone. Jobs can be lost. Income can be done. We need to depend upon God. What's it say? Let's go to the book of Proverbs just real quickly. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs 23. We're just going to look at three verses concerning money because so many folks are taken up with a nest egg. But through the pen of the wise man Solomon, the Lord sketches the truth about money. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 5. First of all, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I did not say that. That's what God's word says. Oh, all of our riches can fly away so easily. Look, if you will, also in Proverbs chapter 11, just a few pages back in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 11, and verse number 28, please. He that trusteth in his riches shall fail, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Oh, God, I do not want to bank everything I have on money. I want to bank everything I have on the righteousness of my God. And I want to live so that God blesses my life. I want to live in such a way that I can be honorable to God. And Brother Chuck, God will bless my life. And he'll meet every need because that's exactly what he promised. If I live my life, if I live it righteously, if I uprightly walk with him, if I attend services, if I pray, if I study, if I seek the Lord, if I have my devotions, God says he will always, always, always meet every single need that I have. Then why do I worry about a nest egg? Why do I worry about anything? He's my God. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 13. Just a few pages up. Verse number 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. Boy, I know there's a lot of those kind of folks. Folks who are trying their best, working day and night, missing all kind of church. I got to work, preacher. I got to work. Got to make money. Missing all kind of church. And before long, they have nothing. Look at it again. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Oh, thank God for his wonderful care of us. Are you listening to me? The old devil himself, that eight-legged creature, is making a web for everybody in this room. For our teenagers, he makes a web. It won't be the same kind of web for the teenagers that it is for you. And your web won't be just like everybody else's web, but the devil's making a web for everybody. And listen to me, he's making a web even as I'm preaching to some of your life. He's trying to get you not to listen. He's trying to get you not to worry about the web. And then as you don't worry about the web, then he's got the glue. And there in the glue is a lot of other folks who hit the glue. And they seem like they're dancing. They're not dancing. They seem like they're having a good time. They're not having a good time. It appears that way, but they're slowly dying. And they're wiggling. It looks like they're dancing. But they're trying to get free. Folks say, you're having a good time, aren't you? Your life's going great, isn't it? Yeah, I'm doing well. They're just wiggling, trying to get free of the world system. But they're stuck. Where? In the glue. Oh, they're proud because they never got to the web. They're so proud. They tell everybody, I don't sin like that. I don't have those major sins in my life. Not me, buddy. Yeah, but you got in the glue. And you're in just as bad a shape because you're still dying. Fortune. What about fame? Hollywood glitz. Glitzy glamour of Hollywood. Names marqueed in bold letters and bright lights. Being seen, being known. These are the lures of the god of fame. But through the telescopic lens of reality, we can see the stars. And they usually fall from their luminous heights of popularity. Or they at least lose their shine. You see, diamonds might glisten on their fingers, but their eyes are jewels of the soul. And those eyes are lackluster and vacant because their souls are not right with God. You know, I thought about this. I thought about our young boys who play basketball, and they look at all these heroes, and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that our basketball arena is so nasty. Some of the greatest athletes in the world are basketball players, as far as I'm concerned. And I'll be honest, fellas and ladies, I'm not trying to preach my own little ideas here, but to see a guy with a basketball uniform on, with tattoos up and down his arm and down his leg and down his back and over his ears and over his eyes, just about makes me sick. Right. What in the world are you doing? Here's some of the best basketball players and guys I'd like to honor and respect and have my young men look up to. You can't point to hardly any of them. They look so filthy. What are we doing? Then you have them bragging that they slept with 35, 45 different women. Teaching our young kids that that's right. That's not right. That's wicked sin. And through the telescopic eye, you will watch some of those stars fall from their perch. And you will watch them come down. And you'll eventually watch their eyes become hollow as they have nothing in their soul. Fame. What greater joy. I thought about this yesterday. And I'm sorry, I knew I'd cry again. But Aaron Petrie, what greater joy than to be known by my Heavenly Father. Frank, I don't have to be known by the whole world. I don't have to tell my guys, you have to look up and be known. I'm not trying to get my name in a marquee. I'm not trying to get my name in the paper and the glitz and the Hollywood. Oh, I'm the greatest shooter ever. I'm not trying to get any of that. Whether or not you ever see your name in print or your face on some screen, if you're saved, you're known. One day, Aaron Petrie, when I knelt and trusted Christ, my name went in the book. Brother Mark, he put my name in that book. And I'm known for eternity by the one who really makes a difference. My God, my Father, knows me. If you're saved, born again, your God knows you by name. What a joy. I may never be in the marquees of the headlines, but I'm known by the one who I need to be known by. You know what he does? He calls me son. You're my son. That would make a dead Baptist shout. Come on, amen. Who are you known by? Oh, I'm known by this and that and that. I'm known by God. Glory to God.
Thank God. Young men, you don't need to be known by everything else. Just be known by Jesus. Known by God. I can't help it. Boy, that is isn't that a great thought? Man, known by God. I'm never going to go to hell. He'll never make a mistake. He doesn't have any erase. He doesn't erase my name ever out of the book. I got my name in the book one day. I'm known by God. I'm going to have a Pentecostal fit in just a second. You can sit there all you want. I'm going to run in just a minute. Woo, glory. Come on, I'm known by God. That's all that I need to be known by, is known by Him. What a joy. Number three, power. The old web is being formed. What are the objectives? Fortune, fame, power. Our dog-eat-dog society often barks the orders. Take charge. Assert yourself. If you don't, you'll get walked on. If you don't, you'll never get ahead. If you don't, on and on and on. Jesus stands by. And with tender authority, says what Mark, or Matthew 13, or 23, I'm sorry, Matthew 23, verse 12 says. What's it talk about? Matthew 23 says, humble yourselves, and He'll exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. Therefore, James advises us to humble ourselves in the presence of our God. James chapter 4, verse 10. And what's it say? He will exalt you in due season. God exalts His people. You don't have to play the world's opportunistic games or politics. Let Him lift you up. I've never been big on going to special meetings as far as to be known. I've never asked in my life to ever preach anywhere, ever. I figure if God wants me to go someplace and preach someplace, somebody will know about me and I can help their ministry somehow and they'll call me. I've never asked anybody ever, ever. And God's always had me go places to preach. This spring I'm going to be busy that I've been for some time going to different places to preach, and that's fine if that's what God wants. I'm just as fine just to stay right in Clyde and preach here. I'm scheduled to preach here, preach there. I get to preach next Sunday in Phoenix, Arizona. They say it's warm out there. I don't know. They say it's 76 degrees. I don't know. But I get to preach. I get to teach Sunday school class and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, next Sunday. Isn't that awesome? How many would like to go? Bring my church out there so I have somebody say amen with me when I'm preaching. Amen. Pleasure. The last point of this particular section. The last thread in Satan's web, he emphasizes his sensuality and beauty. It really starts when we have our kids, and the kids are still in the nursery. Think about this. Think of the classic stories that parents read to their little children. We read The Ugly Duckling. We read things like Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty. From the very first years of our lives, it's instilled in us that this thing called beauty brings security. Now, I'm not knocking you if you do this, but I would never, ever, ever enter my child ever in a beauty contest as a baby. Ever. Now, don't take that if you want to hate me, that's fine. I would never do that. I would never enter them in any kind of a competition like that. It's giving to me the wrong signals. It's not how beautiful we are. We are beautifully and wonderfully made. All of us. All of us. But let's give God what belongs to Him. Let's give Him glory. Give Him honor. What's the Bible say in 1 Samuel 16? Man doesn't see us as God does, and God doesn't see us as man does. Where does man look, by the way? It's right there, on the outward appearance. Where does God look? On the heart. He looks on the inside. Proverbs 31, talking about the wonderful woman, the virtuous woman. What's it say in Psalm of Proverbs 31, verse 30? Favor is deceitful,
Beauty's vain. But a woman, oh, here it is, teach our girls not to strut around and walk around and show half themselves. That's not what it is. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman, listen, that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's what we ought to be teaching our kids. Not to dress and act like the world, but to give great honor to God. There it is. I'm talking about standing alone when opposed. Roman numeral number 2, truths. Let's get down some truths for believers to remember. Because Satan will do anything he can to get us caught in his web, and you know he does that, don't you? Does the devil try to do anything he can to get you caught in his web? And if you miss the web, doesn't he have some sticky flypaper for you? Yeah, he does. We must keep four truths in our minds in the forefront. I want you to write these down. We'll go through them very quickly. Number one, we live in a world of opposing standards. We live in a world of opposing standards. In other words, the world system and the Christianity system is not compatible. We're on a colliding course. Come on, amen? And the friction causes sparks that rival the electricity of even the most brilliant of lightning storms. I'm telling you, there's friction when we're against the world. Letter B, the world has an aggressive strategy. Society's strategy isn't passive. Boy, you can say amen to that. It's not passive. The world society is not passive. They're going to come get you. They're trying to get all of our kids. Now, come on. I mean, even on Yahoo, my mail that I check every day, there's pictures that shouldn't be there. How many of you know I'm telling the truth right there? There's pictures that shouldn't be on that internet. And I'm thinking to myself all the time, what in the world is that on there for? Now, if I have a tinge of a little problem and I'm a young man or a young lady, that may direct me to do something else. And what's this, all this wiggling stuff? With a girl on your computer, when you get your mail, my wife saw it the other day, she said, what in the world is that junk? Come on, the devil is aggressive. Hey, the devil is aggressive, I said. He's not passive at all. Very aggressive. To those who are beautiful, intelligent, powerful, rich, or famous, the devil lavishes all kinds of stuff on them. Such people lifted up and exalted, made the pattern for all of us to follow. I'm sorry, I'm not going to follow some of those patterns. Letter C, we either adopt the world system or we reject it, one of the two. So we live in a world of opposing standards. We have a world that has aggressive strategy, and then we either will adopt the world's strategy or we'll have to reject it, one of the two. What does Jesus say? No one can serve two masters. Either hate one, love the other. Isn't that what he talks about? You know, hold to one, cleave to one, despise the other. You cannot serve both. Hey, guys, listen. Everybody, listen. You're only fooling yourself if you think, come to church, act like a little good Christian, and live like the devil else times. You can't do that. Right. Amen. From all this section all the way here, all the way over here, you can't live like that. Right. Either you're going to live for God or you're going to live for the devil. Amen. You can't do both. It's just impossible to do both. People have tried it for years and have utterly failed. You can't do it. You must reject that aggressiveness of the world. And that's my next point. If you reject it, you must do so with aggressiveness. Let's go to 1 John. I want you to turn with me to 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 2. I want to read this in its entirety. Now here's what it says. Here's what Jesus says. Love not the world. Is that in that book? Is that in your book?
Yes.
Love not the world. Then what's it say next? Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, boy, this is really strong. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, you read what it says. Hey, every teenager, every mom and dad, everybody here, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I'm not trying to be nasty this morning. I'm just trying to be very, very honest. If you say, well, I love going to parties. I just love it. I love the internet, man. I love all the smut. The love of the Father is not in you. It's real simple.
Is that what it says or not? Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Don't love the world. The pull of the world is so strong, though. It's unrelenting. To fight it requires more than just whistling in the dark. It requires embracing of strength that only God can give. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The third thing. Now, I've already said we have some crucial questions regarding the world system. Who's behind it? What's his objectives? Those kinds of things. Truths for believers to kind of remember. We live in a world of opposing standards. The world has an aggressive strategy. We either will adopt that system or we will reject it. But if we do reject it, it's going to have to be with a lot of aggressiveness, a lot of strength. I'm telling you, if I have to fight it, you have to fight. And I have to fight. Number three, an alternate strategy for us believers. An English historian once wrote, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. One of the Bible's most powerful men was Joshua. He was a successor to Moses, a feared general, a great leader of God's chosen people. He had every opportunity to let his power become poisonous. But because his ultimate trust rested in the Lord and not his own self, not his own power, his power was purifying, godly, and wise. In fact, Joshua chapter 24, verse 13 through 15, let's look at the words of what he said as the ancient leader and find an alternate strategy, one that will beat the system of the world. Number one, or letter A, if you want to write this down, I think you should. How do we beat this system? Well, recognize the Lord as supreme. If you're going to beat the system, you have to recognize the Lord as supreme. Now, here's some alternate strategy for believers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to give you wisdom this morning of how can I beat the system of the world. All right, let's go one more time. How many know the system of the world is very aggressive after everybody? Can I see your hand? You believe that? Very aggressive. The world is very aggressive after us. Now, we've already learned that situation. Now, I have to have a strategy as a believer to know how to fight the world. Now, number one, recognize the Lord as supreme. The Lord heaped his blessing upon the children of Israel. Therefore, they were to serve him as the one true God. Now look what he said. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor. This is verse 13. And cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now there's four secrets to aggressively having this strategy. Number one, fear the Lord. If I'm going to have this aggressive strategy to come against the world, I've got to, number one, fear the Lord. Folks, listen, folks don't fear the Lord like they should today. Amen. We have to fear the Lord. The command to fear the Lord doesn't mean that we should be afraid of him, but that we should hold him in reverence. The enemy of reverence is cynicism, which raises its bloated head in the form of sarcastic comments about the Lord. I've never in my life heard so many sarcastic comments against church, God, preachers, and the Lord like we hear today. People don't fear the Lord. They can make fun of God, make fun of God's kingdom. From time to time, we have vandals doing all kinds of stuff against our church. The other day, somebody painted red on both of the sides of the sign out there. It's just destructive. Somebody bent over a flagpole out there. We have those little flags in the middle saying welcome, and somebody bent those over just to be mean. Why? Why do people do that? Because they have no fear.
have no reverence. They don't care. They're sarcastic. I believe with all my heart that's going to get worse, Steve. I believe with all my heart it's going to get worse. Not just for us, but for everybody. Number two, serve the Lord. First of all, I said what? What's my strategy? Number one, I ought to what? Fear the Lord. Number two, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Now, the Lord also commands us to be active and involved in His work. Listen, if you're saved, born again, get active for God. Don't just come once in a while and ask people to beg you to come back again. You be here asking other folks to be here. Just come to church. Serve the Lord. That's what Brother Motto always says, serve the King. Every morning when he goes off the air, serve, and remember, serve the King. And that's what we should do. Is serve the King, right? We fear the Lord, serve the King. And then in sincerity, that's number three. We are to serve Him honestly, sincerely, without a trace of hypocrisy. Do good in truth. Finally, we need to be grounded in the truth of God's Word. We're in a fight against a world system. There's no place, folks, I'm telling you, there's no place for ignorance. Well, I don't know. We'll find out. Go to Psalm 119 real quickly. Psalm 119, and follow me down to verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We just went over in our Sunday school class this morning the scriptures about salvation. I think everybody in our church ought to know how to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus. We are in a fight. Standing alone when opposed. You will be opposed. You need to learn how to stand alone. Keep your time with God creative and fresh. Keep your love alive. Fear the Lord. Serve the Lord. Sincerity and in truth. That's how we ought to recognize the Lord as supreme. Letter B, reject all opposing philosophies. If I'm going to take a stand and stand for God, even when I'm opposed, I've got to reject all opposing philosophies. In order to beat the system, not only must we hold the Lord supreme, we must also reject every semblance of the world's philosophy. What did Joshua say? In Joshua chapter 24, 14, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It won't be necessarily easy. Some of society's ways have become deeply ingrained in our lives, and we can hardly even recognize them as being worldly anymore. You know, I get thinking about the church, and sometimes it really baffles me because our churches are getting so liberal and so worldly, we don't even see how liberal and worldly we've become. Our lives are that way. We've become so worldly and so inconsistent with God, we don't even see it ourselves. But we need to understand we've got to reject these philosophies that are not God's philosophy. But it won't be easy. Letter C. Realize that others may not agree with you. Somebody says, doesn't that bother you? If somebody doesn't agree? If God agrees, that's all that counts. Come on, amen? Realize that others may not agree with you. It's not important that everyone's on the same page. Not everyone on the block sees things the way you see it. What is important is that you know for yourself what's right and wrong according to Scripture. Wholeheartedly, Joshua challenges the Israelites to solidify their commitment to God. In verse 15, he says, get it together. Look at verse 15. Can we get that on the screen? Joshua 24, 15. I want you to see this. If you don't have it on the screen, you can go to your Bible again. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. See what he says? Whether the gods of which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I know most everybody here is saying amen to that. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But you know where I think that ought to start? It ought to start with these young guys as they're coming up in church. And we get to these guys' age back here, they ought to be saying, bless God, we're going to serve the Lord. That's it. We're going to serve God. Don't know exactly how we're going to do this, but we're going to serve the Lord. Get a strategy.
alternate strategy for believers. Recognize the Lord as supreme. Fear the Lord. Serve the Lord. Sincerity. Truth. Reject all opposing philosophies. Realize that others may not always agree with you. But don't let that trouble you. And then letter D, repeat and review. Oh, man. You've got to do this. Repeat and review your standards all the time. Repeat and review your standards often. As if he hadn't made a strong enough statement, Joshua emphatically, at the very end of that verse, said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What kinds of messages, parents, are you giving to your kids? You know, I've often thought, and I'm not ragging on anybody this morning at all, but when you have kids in your household, and they say, Daddy, we going to church tonight? Well, no, I'm a little tired tonight. I kind of want to watch the Cavs play basketball tonight. Now, what did you just teach that son or your daughter? Something else is more important than God. Well, we're not going to go to church tonight because we planned family activity. I hear this all the time. We don't come preach because we have family activities on Sunday nights. I said, you know a good family activity? We'd be going to church together. Amen. You can sit in the same pew. Ta-da! Well, we had a family activity. Then later on, I checked about the family activity, and the daddy was working out in the garden, and the mommy was planting flowers, and the kids were playing computer games. That's not family activity. Family activity is a family does something together. Not daddy with a pop can, lean back in his easy chair watching football game or basketball game, and mama out there in the kitchen cooking. Help me, Lord. I'm getting in deep water right now. What kinds of messages do we send our children? Mixed among things like, don't slam the door. We say that kind of stuff at home, don't we? Pick up your toys. Be nice to your sister. Sis, don't hurt him. Say things like that at home? Well, in the midst of all that stuff, do you ever say, make your bed? Or do you ever say to a teenager, for goodness sake, clean your room? Do you ever say that, mom and dad? Probably do, don't you? I've been in some of their, we're not going to muck you up the water anymore. In the midst of all those things, wouldn't it be good to say, hey kids, have you got that verse memorized? Hey, have you heard the song on the Christian radio station? Somebody needs to say something. Amen. Hey, did you memorize that verse in Sunday school that you had? Or what did you have in Sunday school today? Right. Children's church, what did you learn? Mom and Dad, I guess I'm asking this question. What messages are we giving to our children? What have we been giving to them? What's really important? Roman number 4. I've got to give you 3 biblical warnings for the heart. I think if we practice some strategy that I've laid out this morning, we'll have what it takes to avoid the snare of the world's sticky web. Now, we might get past the web, remember, but the devil's got some sticky flypaper. We've got to get past both of those. But lest we think we can be perfect, unless we think we can just go abracadabra, it's all changed. You can't do that, by the way. I personally think you have to have a strategy, and then you have to have some warnings from the heart. Number 1, it won't be easy, and it won't be sudden. Now, here's a biblical warning. If I'm going to practice the strategy I've laid out, I'm going to have to avoid the snare of the world's sticky web. I got to consider some things that will strengthen my strategy in reality. I got to think about this. It will not be easy, and I can't do it suddenly. It takes time. It takes time, it takes effort. But like housework, you ever notice housework? Catching up is a lot harder than keeping up. Can somebody, ladies, say amen? Catching up is always harder than just keeping up. I'll be honest, I cannot stand dishes in the sink. It just drives me crazy. So I'm doing dishes all the time. Now you'd think two little people that don't eat much wouldn't have many dishes. We have more trash and more dishes than anybody I've ever seen in my life. I said to my wife, that bag is full of trash again. What in the world are we doing? How much are we eating these days? And I've cleaned up 1,500 dishes today. That's a little exaggeration. But honestly, you know, you keep up, it's easier. And if you leave dishes in the sink long, I've been in some people's houses, you got dishes stacked up and grubby stuff on those dishes. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate to have to scrape the grubby stuff off. I just don't like that so much. I never wear gloves, and so it gets under my nails. Then you got to do this, you know. I'm kidding. But it's harder to catch up than it is to keep up. If we let the dust of our worldly habits build up, it'll take a lot of elbow grease to get it off. But if we do it every day, it's so good, just do it every day. Every day. Clean and polish your philosophies. Do it with discipline. Do it with care. It won't be long until God's system of rich and pure mahogany shines through. Don't you like to see that wood? No dust on it, just shining. Isn't that pretty? Ooh, that's pretty. I hate dust. Do you hate dust? And I'm glad Tammy works for me, because once in a while she comes and cleans my office, because I have cakes of dust. I just look at my books and my desk. I don't ever look at the dust. I can't stand it. Thank you, Tammy. She came in the other day and had it all cleaned up. I said to Bill, who did this? Who cleaned my desk? I mean, I can't make marks on it anymore. Nice. But so much easier and better if you just keep up. Number two, your main problem will be inconsistency. I don't know about you, but that's been my problem. Inconsistency. After a study like I'm doing this morning, it's easy to get fired up and make some big plans to fly wide of the world's web and don't get stuck and don't get in the fly paper. But soon, after the service is over and all the laughter and everything's done, we soon go back to our daily routine and it steals away our passion and leaves us with just a little flicker of conviction to change. And finally, we don't change at all. The key to making a strategy work in my life is to fight hard for it. Daily, every day, and be consistent. But I'll tell you what I know. We are so inconsistent. So one of the biggest problems is going to be inconsistencies. And here I'm done. If you don't start now, you never will. Procrastination will kill even the deepest of convictions in our lives. Act on your desire to beat the world system. Act on it. Do it today. In fact, do it right now. Maybe you're sitting here listening to me this morning, or maybe you're listening to my radio. You can do it on the radio. Just fall to your knees and say, God, help me now. I got to get started right now. Help me with my inconsistencies. Help me, dear Lord. I know it's not going to be easy,
And I know it won't be sudden, but I want to change. I want to grow in God. How many of you in this auditorium would say, preacher, that's me. I need to do it now. Before any music is played or anything else, if you don't start right now, you never will. And you're going to say to, with me right now this morning, preacher, I'm going to get up from my seat. I'm going to walk this aisle. I'm going to kneel at this altar. And I'm going to say to God, God, I'm going to start now. I'm going to learn how to stand, even though I'm opposed. And no one else stands with me. I'm going to learn how to stand. Standing alone if I have to, when opposed. But I'm going to get started right now. Come on, who's going to leave their seat? I'm going to get started right now. There's something in my life I've got to conquer right now. Who's going to do that? Come on. Who's going to do it right now? Don't wait for an organ to play. Don't wait for a song to be sung. God's already dealt with you. He's dealt with your heart. You know He has. I'm going to come right now. Preacher, I'm going to come. I'm going to do that right now. If I don't get started now, I probably never will get started. And you're exactly right. That's wonderful. Look at this crowd coming. That's good. Don't you miss this opportunity. It's the time right now. I'm going to get started right now. Why should I wait? I need to do it now. Folks are still coming. That's wonderful. Now come on, everybody stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.